So good to see you.
Here's.
Yep. All right, so we're gonna get started.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, still under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the podium. Clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of presentation, it will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. So first is approval of minutes for February 10th.
Second.
Make motion approved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Done.
Approval of the agenda for April 14th.
Motion to approve.
Motion approved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, so first up is Indian Springs Library, so Jet.
Hi everyone, my name is Jet. I am the branch manager for the Indian Springs Library. Just wanted to give you all some updates from the library. It turns out that the Culinary Academy did not get funded again for their meals, but we have some amazing community members who found another food pantry who will serve our community. The new program is through Lighthouse Charities. We've got some volunteers in the community who are picking up every 2 weeks, and so it'll be meal pickup will be Thursday afternoon. The next one is going to be April 22nd. The library has applications if anybody wants to sign up. It is all ages. So before, the Culinary Academy was just seniors. Now it's open to everybody. So anybody in the community who would like to sign up can. If you have additional questions, you can swing by. It's a very simple application, and I'll just need it back by the 21st to get you in for the meals for pickup on the 22nd. Just so you know, the first food bag that we received actually had fresh fruits and potatoes, powdered milk, frozen peas, cheese, raisins, and cereal. The food in these bags will change as the food pantry gets different options. Wanted to let you all know that we are doing an adult watercolor night. We've held two so far. Our next one is this upcoming Tuesday. And as long as there's interest, we will continue to do them. We're looking at doing them at least once a month, if not twice a month. And our next one is going to be this lovely koi fish painting. We supply everything that you need. It is a free program. And if you would like to attend, just let me know so we can reserve spots because I only have so many kits. I want to let you all know the library district now has library substitutes. So we're hoping to have a sub out here more often so we won't be closing from 2 to 3. So if you see somebody else here, don't panic. It's just our library substitute. It's likely going to be Jay, but we may have some other substitutes that'll come out. Jay's first day will actually be the 28th with us the entire day. So stop by, say hi to Jay, and show him how busy our time is. Lastly, the library district as a whole is going to be having a district-wide customer appreciation day. That's going to be April 26th. All day we'll be doing giveaways and raffles, and we'll have goodies for you all. That's also an opportunity for you to stop by, fill out a little survey, and let the library district know what you want to see from your library here. Especially if it's a lot of programming and stuff, we may be able to push more funding for those programs and supplies for those programs. Any questions?
You got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Jet.
Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department, so.
Hey, Diddy. My name is Chief Gary Judd, Indian Springs Volunteer Fire Department. So far, we ran 43 calls to this day. Several flight for lives. We did receive our new tender, our 3,000-gallon tender. It's a beast. It's like driving a Cadillac turtle.
It's nice.
It's very nice. So,
350.
We're still looking for volunteers. If anybody would like to volunteer, please get a hold of me. That's all I got. Thank you. questions.
How's your new EMT?
New EMTs are really good. One's a paramedic, the other one is, they both work for Medic West, so they're not here during the day, but most of the calls have been coming at night, so we've been pretty good.
Good. That's great.
Any questions?
Will you guys be serving food from the fire department every baseball night?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yes, we will. It'll be down in our barn.
That was great. Yeah.
And he's also decided to do it just for fun softball, too.
Yes.
Oh, yay. Okay.
So, thank you.
Thanks, Kitty.
Thank you. Metro. NHP.
Sergeant Paul, Captain of the Nevada State Police. We only worked 5 crashes this past month, and only one of those was in this district, and that was right here at 95 and 119. That was a high speed rear end. The guy was not DUI, he was tested. And that was on a Monday at 12:40 p.m., so that was your most dangerous day to drive. We've written 586 tickets. Had 3 arrests, those were all DUI. 8 abandoned vehicles, 52 motorist assists. We dealt with 8 pedestrians. And we had 535 traffic stops. That's it.
Awesome.
Any questions?
Question.
Yes?
Did DOT have anything positive about taking down the one signs and putting up the extra speed sign?
Yes, so they wrote that suggestion down when I forwarded it to them.
Okay.
And said it was from the citizens of Indian Springs. They also are, they're already moving on those passing lanes up north, so they're already building those. So I don't know what their time frame is, I can find out if you want, but putting the rumble strips in and the yellow flasher above the creek entrance is definitely on their list.
Awesome.
They weren't receptive to adding a buffer speed zone between the 70 and the 45. They said that would require a speed study, and that would add time, like years.
Yeah.
But they'll do the short term measures and then work on a longer term, like a ramp system.
Okay.
In about 10 years, probably.
Are the protests done?
They're camping up across from Mercury right now, so they did make their way from Lee Canyon Road. They walked on the southbound shoulder, northbound. They had a few support cars. They pulled the porta potty. They were no trouble.
No event. Okay. And that's over the end of this week? It's over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Children.
I know, right? Thank you.
Creech Air Force Base.
Clark County Parks and Rec.
We have a community yard sale. It's going to be held in the parking lot here on April 30th. If you want to sign up, it's a $10 reservation fee. They furnish the tables. The fire department is going to be selling hamburgers and hot dogs also. So if you're interested in that, see Teresa or I during... Well, whenever I can help you. And you can sign up for the yard sale. It's basically just a garage sale without the garage. So you just bring whatever you want up to sell. And we have tables here. You do have to have a way to get them out to the parking lot and bring them back when you're done if you need them, or you can use your own. But it will be out in the parking lot April 30th from, what did she say the time was? 8 to noon. And then there is a Nevada Assembly District candidate. He wants to come out and do a meet and greet. He will be here April 30th from 11:30 to 2:30 here in the community center.
Is that Joey Gilbert?
No, it is Matt Sadler. And Teresa wanted me to make sure everybody knows about that. The flyers will be hung up for anyone to look at the library, wherever we can hang them.
That's going to be here?
Yes.
At what time did you say, 11:30?
From 11:30 to 12, to 2:30. It's just a meet and greet. We had successful open rec the last 3 days. We went from anywhere from 16 to 29 kids.
Good.
We had a flashlight, first event we've ever done like this, was a flashlight egg hunt. Was from the 11-year-olds to 15-year-olds last night, and that was an overwhelming success. We ended up, once we saw how many kids actually showed up, we even took 300 more eggs out to the field for them to find. So there was a 10-minute delay for them to start, but it really, really went over well, and they said they can't wait till next year.
Aww.
And we're also looking for into seeing what the response will be to have an open rec for the older kids in the evening during the summer. We usually always have one for the younger kids during the day, but this would be just strictly the older kids.
That's a great
idea. The
little
kids wouldn't be invited, unfortunately. They have their time during the day. Other than that, that's pretty much, well, my baseball's up and running. Just a few hiccups here and there, but we're playing.
Yay.
So that's all I can thank goodness for. So other than that, that's about it. Is there anything else?
Do you have any flyers on the...
I do not have any, but you know what? I'm sure she's got more. You're more than welcome to have
okay,
that one. You want the community one. Yard sale too? That one I can make copies of.
Okay, that's great.
That one I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
What?
Will they be having tickets on the bat this Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Les is going to be escorting, but look who always comes in. So.
Of course. Okay.
Yeah. Wear many hats. I wear many hats. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
High Desert Seniors.
Should we just take it off the agenda again?
Yeah.
In a while?
In
at least a year.
For
yeah.
Months.
Okay. I'll give her a senior break. All right.
And
you know what? We'll take it off. If they come, they can do it during public.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's
good.
Yep.
All right. So I was very disappointed, as I'm sure you all, that the mile markers still have not been done. I was told some of them had been done. I think they put new crappy ones. New little ones instead of putting the new big ones. So, yeah, I know. It's irritating me too. So I will be following up on that.
It's DOT?
Yeah, I know. Well,
yeah.
I know. The park expansion we talked about before, that it was the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act. We've gotten approved for that. And we did get the final approval. That's going to be moving forward here pretty soon. It's in the design process right now, which the county, you know, takes a long time on stuff, so it's going to be a couple years, but it's going to pretty much double the size of the park. So
nice.
As soon as we have some plans, I will bring them out to show them.
Is there any way, do we know if they're going to do a separate, like, you know, one for the littler kids versus...
The expansion does not include a more playground,
mm-hmm.
but it's a walking trail, more picnic areas, covered shaded areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the plans aren't finalized, so it doesn't mean we can try to sneak that in there. So, I will put
the little ones always get ran over when only the big ones come out.
So you want to talk.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
Fenced,
if we can.
Not loved.
Fenced?
Yes, because we have motorcycles driving into this lot.
All right. I have been getting lots of pictures sent to me about BLM dumping that's going on. I've been talking to BLM law enforcement. We are going to schedule a cleanup with BLM, the community, but law enforcement wants to come up and do some investigative stuff first. We used to have an officer here that was really gung-ho, and he would find addresses and stuff and go and cite the people at their homes. So I think our new officer wants to do that, so we're not going to...
Nice.
So it's not that we're not cleaning it up. I want to give them the opportunity to do their investigation. And so we'll be doing a cleanup pretty soon. I want to do it before it gets too hot. So BLM will bring up dumpsters, and we'll ask the community to participate and get some other volunteers out to participate. So
Good.
And if anybody sees who's doing it, if you know who's doing it, send it to me. You can be anonymous. Send me pictures of license plates, anything. If you get anything, send it to me. I won't say who it is, but that would help too. So, yeah.
Can we also have a cleanup at the end of Boulder, out in the end of the desert where it dead ends? That's their junkyard.
That's what she's talking about.
No, I'm talking about all
he's talking about Dump Road.
Dump Road.
Yeah. Down there, I'll have to see. I think that's private property. So this BLM...
Where the boat is, and it's been there for 6 years.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
I believe that's private property. Yeah. So it's at the end of Boulder, left or right?
Sky, like towards the elementary school, I think.
To the right,
right? Oh, this way.
To the right, to the east. So you're on east. Past the new homes.
So no, the other way. The other way.
About?
Okay, you guys. Yes. Where am I looking at? Where is it?
Beezer Homes, dead end.
At the end of Beezer.
Yeah.
Left or right?
Right.
Okay. Then that is private property. Private. So we will have to get that owner to come out and do something for that. But that's doable too. Mm-hmm. I have the best news. NV Energy has found a different site, and it's Commissioner Miller and I got to look at it. It's acceptable to both of us, so I think it will be acceptable to all of you. I don't have the rights to tell you what it is yet, but it's way better. It's not in anybody's backyard. It's not going to affect anybody's home. So they will be coming out very soon, either here or to do an open house to let you all look at the plans and get your input. It's not a done deal. They definitely will come out first, but... it's a much, much better. Commissioner Miller had told NV Energy they had to make me happy because I know what you guys need and I'm satisfied with it. So, but you guys will see when they bring
it. What is it?
So, the substation.
Is it a secret? You can't tell us where?
I can't.
Where?
No, because it hasn't gone through all the checks in the company. They wanted to get the input from the commissioner before they went and whole hog on it, because if he said
no
way.
No, it's not going to be north, so it has to be east or west. So are we looking east or west? That's west. That's
I'm not saying anything. So anyway, it's a much better location, so I'm very excited for you guys to see that. And, of course, they said, well, they were so glad that they came out to the community so they could hear how you felt. Like I hadn't told them already, but if that's how they want to spin it, that's fine. So they said they were very glad that you also were there. So, that's all I got. Unless there's any questions.
Could you tell us if and how the redistricting affects us?
Redistricting of the commissioners? It doesn't affect you in any way.
We're not going to get a new commissioner.
No. It mostly affects in town. Your population is quite small, so it wouldn't, it doesn't make a big consequence to changes, you know, but with the growth up in the Southwest Valley, there was a lot of changes down there because they have to keep it equal. So, but no, it has no effect.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
You know me, retention basis study 161. Just wanted to know the results of that. It's public information. And I just would like to get that.
It's state water engineer had told me they will come out to a meeting to discuss it.
Right.
And this meeting I dropped the ball and did not invite them. I will invite them.
It's okay because we had a meeting canceled before that and one before that. So it's kind of like if it's in writing what they state to planning and development. Aren't they the ones that are supposed to know what's going on up here?
Yeah, but that's not how it works. We talked about this.
I'm asking.
Planning and development, if a project comes in, they go to the water company mm-hmm. and says, can you provide water for this project? And if they say yes, that's how it works.
They go to the water company.
Right, that's the water purveyor. Yes, okay. That's the water purveyor for this
community. It's on their application that's stated that way?
It would be... whatever the water purveyor for the area is. Okay. So if you're not Charleston, it'd be Cal Canyon Water District. It's the water purveyor. So when they get a project or a map approved, okay. The water purveyor has to say that they will provide water for that project and that they can provide water for that project. What you're asking for is like a hydrological study.
Okay.
And I don't know that they have one, but they will come talk about the hydrology.
Yes, and I'll see you next week.
All right.
Okay.
So we were deceived then that it's been going on a year and a half now, spring, that there was a study made, and we were supposed to receive the results of those, that study.
No, there was no deception there. That was a suggestion Commissioner Brown had made.
Oh.
But
well, they drilled out here. They drilled.
Okay, but the suggestion was made to the water, state water engineer.
Okay.
I think they felt comfortable, they have a good handle on the basin, so they didn't do a study. If a study was needed, they would be doing it, but they will come out and talk to you about it.
Oh, good.
Hopefully next month.
Okay, good. Right,
anything
you.
Else for me? Yes.
In the back.
Do you have an update on the posting of speed limit signs up there on Raleigh where we keep getting all these people from Vegas flying on, well, every day of the week now the weather's getting better?
On Raleigh?
In there, yeah.
Now, I've been asked about McFarland. I don't.
Yeah, on Raleigh.
Maybe I missed it, but I don't remember having a request on Raleigh.
We've spoken to the cops. They said they'd get a hold of BLM, get some signs need to go up there because these people are shooting up that road at all hours. Going at least 40.
Okay. Well, but why would they be talking to BLM?
The cops said they had to talk to BLM to ask about putting up some signs.
No.
Okay. Metro doesn't do signs anyway,
yeah.
So I will put a request in on Raleigh.
Metro doesn't do them, but the cop we talked to said that she would get a hold of BLM and BLM would be able to put those signs up.
Okay.
But the weather getting warmer, there's a lot more traffic going through with those rains.
And on the pave.
On our, yeah, on our road
right
there.
Right,
that would be county.
Yeah.
I'll put the request in, now that I know about it, okay?
And those are residents that are doing that, too.
Not residents of us.
The majority of them are Las Vegas people.
I was going to say, I think that it's people that come out for...
Yeah, because they haul their trailers,
like
fifth wheels and stuff up
all
there.
The trailers.
Got it.
We don't do speed bumps in Clark County. They're not permitted in Clark County.
Okay, can we put them up then?
No. please do not do that.
No.
I think here's the reason. There's a reason for it. Speed bumps, if you were waiting for an ambulance to come to you in an emergency, you would not want them to have to deal with speed bumps. And speed bumps have been found to divert traffic and make it worse on other streets. So Clark County does not do speed bumps.
So we're just bumping the speeder going through there?
No, that's not what I said.
Throw a garbage can.
I think
I said that I'm going to put the signs.
Yeah,
in.
The signs may help a lot because even for like people that live here and drive up and down that road, they fly through there. So, but there is no speed limit sign in there.
And I'll put that request in. And if you talk to Metro, then hopefully they'll be doing some targeted enforcement. If not, I will ask them to do that. I will tell you. Speeding is a problem everywhere, and it sucks, and I wish you guys, you know, I wish, you know, tax strips or something, I don't know, but it's people being jerks, you know, it's your home, why are they driving so fast, but, so yeah, I wish I could solve that one for you, but I'll do the best I can.
Do you know what the legality is of, you might be able to answer this, the legality of ticketing somebody after the fact, if there are video, county-owned video or owned videos
for speeding
at a stop sign, not for speeding, going through stop signs. What is the
would that be like a red light camera?
Some states do that.
I don't know. Yeah, they do, but I don't
Arizona
think the
does.
Public. The public has to have like a taste for that, and I don't know of any. Enforcement cameras in the
okay.
County. Mm-hmm. That automatically
well,
send a registered owner a ticket.
Right, we don't have cameras to do that. I thought you were asking if someone else took a video.
I was addressing the county at it.
On the way to Apex.
Specifically, for the school
takes pictures.
Stop sign. People go through that stop sign at the school every day. And there are cameras there that video that. And when I, you know, and I'm
well, you gotta give
too
them
old
the facts
to go down
and bring up the question, dude.
But I still do. And I politely ask them not to do that and tell them that they are on camera. And everybody, 99% of the people have always been polite. But I just wondered, Because that, I've seen, you know, of course, everybody knows that, most people know that I've lived there a long time. I've seen a lot of close calls with children. And there's been one fatality at this, by the school, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, long.
But I was just asking that question, if there was something that could be done. Because it is, it's pretty egregious there, about people going through this.
And you know there's a camera that catches it?
Yeah, we're on the wall, there's, yeah.
We've seen it, oh, okay.
There's two cameras there.
At the, on the school?
Yeah, it's on the gym walls, yeah. Now, I don't, you know,
I will ask the question.
Nevada might not do that, some states do that, they have, yeah.
I can ask the question.
They might not be able to take it, but Metro can look at it and see who it is.
And that's the beauty of our resident officers, because even if they can't take it, they could still know who it is and go pay visit.
Right, have a face-to-face.
Yeah. Yes?
We know, as far as the speed goes, do we know how many speed limit signs are here in town? Seems like there's not that many.
I think Public Works has a map of what they are.
I think the problem is a lot of people don't know, especially new people in town, don't know what the speed limit is.
Well, I would say any person that has a driver's license should know that if there's no sign, it's 25, so.
Residential is 25.
So I would love to say that it's a lack of signage, I think it's just people being jerks.
Yes.
Especially down by Boulder, by Beazer over there, that's just down to McFarland, they speed in there pretty fast.
Yeah, they still haven't put any signs up there either.
It's like behind the church, right?
Alright, anything else? Yeah.
The bars are on the slides and stuff at the park, what is?
And someone emailed me about that, and I didn't get a chance to ask Public Works and Rec, I've been in the.
I can tell you what I heard now, what I was told was the engineers for Clark County came out, they deemed them.
Unsafe?
Yeah.
I know one was, I didn't know about the other.
And that there's either going to be replaced, or they're ordering the parts to fix it. And that was the last I heard, that was when it was done.
Right, and that's what I heard about the one, the other one came later, right?
Right, we all know how fast county moves, so I can't give you a timeframe.
Okay. So I'm assuming it's the same reason as the first one, because it prevented injury.
Well, I mean, and, you know, since our kids were all the time, we've all inspected, like, what is going on? But, I mean, that was the only assumption we had.
We had one parent jumping on it, wiggling it, I can't get it to move, yes.
Well, I will tell you, I received complaints that they were broken, so that's why the county can't do that, because. Some residents here had complained that they were broken, so tell if you do help you don't. Sorry, yeah.
Megan?
Yes.
For the playground, also, there's, I think it's covering a hole that kids used to be able to climb in and out of, but now there's just a tacky gate chained up to keep kids from going in and out of that hole. Is there a way to either?
But it's a hole for the slide.
No.
Which one? The lower one, the big slide, because all slides are blocked off, and then there's that lower one.
That has just a gate chained to it, right?
So it's that lower one.
It seems like it was put there for a safety measure, but it's really tacky looking.
Okay, I am going to drive by there, if we don't go too late, it's not dark, I'm gonna drive over there and check it out, and I'll see. Send me pictures of this stuff, please. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Alright, so we'll go back then, because Creech is here now, so.
So, I'm very sorry.
No problem.
I was talking to my wing commander, so Nick DiRosario, DiRosario, my telephone number is 702-404-3574. So I'm happy to announce that, well, I hope this will make you happy. We are going into design for about $300 million worth of new construction on Creech. Between this year, we're going to be in the design phase, but it's definitely coming. By 2025, we're gonna have about $300 million worth of new facilities on Creech. Most of them are gonna be on the north side. So progress is continuing on the installation. So for those of you who have been here long enough, then we wondered if we'd be here forever, and it looks like we're not going anywhere anytime soon. One other thing I've brought, I wonder if I could ask a favor of the library at the same time. I brought enough for both. So Creech is in need of a barber, And this is a business opportunity for if there's anybody in the community who is meets all of the requirements of the county to be a barber. There's an opportunity with AFES. I've brought some informational pamphlets. There's a telephone number and an email to send. I was wondering if I could leave some here, and if maybe, can I leave some with the library?
You can leave the rest with the library. I'll hand them out as people come in.
Couldn't ask for more. Thank you so much. So,
not a question. Nice try.
What's up?
With the $300 million in new construction facilities, is that going to increase the number of personnel that will be coming to Creech significantly?
What's your definition of significant?
What is your definition of not?
Double?
No, double is a little too much. We're looking at about 1,000 to 1,200 additional.
Well, that's significant.
That's great.
Well, that's wonderful.
If it was Nellis, 1,000 more people at Nellis is a not third. Really. But I certainly understand here it is a large number.
Yeah,
but we're going to be growing by about a quarter of our population on the installation.
But you'll still end up during the day having in mornings and the evenings having a traffic problem. This question I'm sure has been brought up many times. Is there any thought to the intersection there?
Absolutely. That we have one of the projects that we are working with the congressional delegation on is a new commercial gate on the north side, basically beyond Creech, near the far end of the runway. So
west, you mean, that direction?
Forgive me, I suck at directions. I'm a ground pounder.
West.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Yeah, that direction.
So a new gate of west?
Essentially, you've driven past Creech. That is a new commercial gate. So the idea would be that would keep a lot of the construction vehicles, delivery vehicles, things of that nature that tend to back traffic up onto the highway will be going towards that. Our goal is to have that design this year with potential funding for next year.
The main gate on that side.
So I'm not playing semantic games with you, right? So when you define a main gate for an Air Force installation is where the most amount of personnel travel through, the main gate of Creech will still be the gate that you see today. All commercial traffic, anything more than a standard car or van, will be directed towards, once it's constructed, towards the commercial gate, which will also have additional security measures. The other key part of this, in the design we have right now, is a significant roadway already on Creech land. So you simply don't have that highway buildup. It's about, my understanding is it's about 3/4 of a mile of additional roadway that will be built on Creech in connection with this gate, so that backup theoretically comes off of the highway onto installation property, still to be searched. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but there's still not any thought about building any kind of an egress.
I haven't gotten to that yet. So we are constantly in conversations with NDOT about what is in the realm of the possible. I don't have anything to tell you about right now, but I can tell you in the last year I've had 3 meetings with them myself where I've been a part of that conversation. Doesn't make it easier, but the biggest thing is, well, what do you want, and then who's going to pay for it? Everything from the ridiculous of, four-way Clover interchange to something that, if some of you might be from Southern California, some military installations in Southern California have de facto overpasses that are just for an installation where we may look at something along those lines. But the other problem is those are tens to 20s of millions of dollars just for that. So that's not coming in the near term. The commercial gate is coming in the near term.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I know that there's another aspect of that too, is Interstate 11 is supposed to be coming through here, and I'm sure that plays on people's minds too.
Absolutely, but I've been here a long time too, and I've heard about Interstate 11 since I first got here. Haven't built it yet.
Well, they came and did a presentation for us several months ago.
I'm sorry?
They came and did a really detailed presentation for us several months ago.
I must have been fishing.
That doesn't mean anything.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not. I just, that's been a conversation my entire career.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it's not going to be a new highway.
No.
It's more of a concept.
But they'll be in conjunction with NDOT, how it's going to be the interchange.
My understanding is that it comes way before us, right?
It does, but the numbers are the same. It follows the same route. It's really just a conduit.
It actually isn't. It won't change anything.
They just change the signs from 95 to 11.
They just add the signs, because we keep 95, you add on 11, it's 250, everything's the same, they just add more signs.
Yes.
That 300 million in the influx of people, is any kind of like housing involved in that?
No, all of it is operative.
So there's still no plans to put a housing area for them?
So for those of you who have a connection to the base, there is a conversation ongoing about a northwest housing development. But to directly answer your question, on Creech Air Force Base, there is no plans at this time or in the near-term future to put any sort of housing on course. The Northwest Housing Development is a endeavor with the city of Las Vegas.
Are you talking about the one over there by the Smiths as we come into town?
No, I'm talking about more down in the valley, right up against the Paiute Reservation. There's a master plan effort. It's called the Upper Las Vegas Wash.
Right.
It's being developed with the city of Las Vegas. If that comes to fruition, if some of you may hear about a Northwest housing project associated with Creech, it is in that development.
Yeah, I heard that about 6 months ago at the awards.
But in that particular case, the Air Force is not actually paying for that. That would be a private entity who's trying to build a community oriented towards the financials of airmen versus open market.
One of the last times, sometime last year, we discussed a helipad, and you had said that you were going to talk to the commander about y'all partially funding or helping us to build because you guys could benefit from it too.
Yeah, I like the first part there. I don't remember saying we'd fund it, but I definitely
said you
the question was, my recollection of that question was, could we look at allowing on the land on this side of the highway to facilitate a helipad usage in that area? I did approach the fire chief about that. My understanding, and Chief, you're back there, my understanding is Chief Fitzgerald was supposed to reach out to you. Was there never a conversation about that?
No, sir.
So the answer to your question is we are very amenable to creating a scenario where a life-flight helicopter could absolutely land on that land. The obstacles of what the logistics of how to do that, we definitely have to meet and talk about.
And the notes I have on that from last April, exactly a year ago, exactly what you said, there may be an opportunity to use Creech land at the old base housing area for a helipad. And you would talk to the commander about if it was possible to use the land or funding or help construction, because you said y'all could use it too. It would benefit you guys as well.
And so I'm still standing by the aspect of using the land. I don't believe we can help pay for it. If some of what is on the land needs to be removed to facilitate this, that might be what we could pay for, because it's still our project to remove that. But paying for cement or new construction there, that I cannot commit to. Whenever we're recording, I cannot say that we'll do that. But if it requires removal of a non-functional telephone pole or something along those lines, I believe we could certainly find the funding to deal with those types of issues. My understanding is there's a lot of asphalt out there. I don't know, Chief, can a helicopter land out there from the condition of the asphalt right now? There you go. So I'm open to that. I will again talk to Chief Fitzgerald and remind him that we haven't made any progress on that. And so I talked to the wing commander. He is amenable to it. So we just have to connect Chief Fitzgerald and the chief to whatever that looks like.
So
and
you will speak to Chief Fitzgerald.
I will speak to Chief Fitzgerald. The wing commander is on board. And then once they have their conversation and come back to me with, I need X, Y, and Z, if we can make that happen, we will make that happen.
Thank you.
And again, my name is Nick DiRosario. If any of you have any questions, 404-3574. My email address for work is on the sign-in sheet. please don't hesitate to send me a note, or if you have any questions, I'll do my best to get you an answer back. But unless there's any other questions, I'll leave these at the front, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And again, I'm sorry for being late.
All right, no planning and zoning, so general business, so... All right, so we're going to move on to general business. So we have representatives from EDF Renewables for the proposed Bonanza Solar Project.
Great, thank you. I did bring a presentation, so I'm going to turn this on the TV to just help guide, so give me 1 second to start it up.
Hey, Celia, you want to flip off the lights? Give us a little moonlight. And I told him I'd bring a projector and it would be bigger, and I dropped the ball on that.
That's pretty cool.
Give 1 second to turn.
It's on now.
Okay. Great. So let's see here. Can folks see this? I know the folks over here probably can't, but I can do this from here. So great. Thank you for your time this evening and hosting us.
Turn it that way a little more.
Okay.
Let me turn the light off in there for the glare.
That's good. Oh, too much.
Too much?
There you go.
Okay. All right. So my name is Scott Kolke. I am a developer for EDF Renewables. I'm here with my colleague, Devin Mudo. He's director of development for EDF Renewables. Our goals here today are to provide an introduction to the company we work for, EDF Renewables, the project that we are in an early stage development that is west of the community of Indian Springs, and also garner some input to the project, which, as I mentioned, is in an early stage. So a brief introduction to myself. I've been personally working in the renewable energy development space for nearly 15 years. What motivates me working in the space is the ability to take ideas, build tangible projects that can bring economic benefits to the communities they are located in, and also help clean up our energy grid, which is becoming more and more important to me as I grow in life, and my wife and I will be expecting a child here in about 6 weeks. So looking to kind of leave a better future for my family as well. EDF is a, EDF Renewables is called Electricity de France. It is a global company, has over 30,000 employees worldwide. But EDF here in North America is a very local company, in the fact that we employ around 1,500 people in North America. The majority of our staff or employees work on our projects. We develop in a mindset of owning and operating our assets. So as we develop our projects, we think in mind for the long term. And Devin and I are part of the grid scale group. What that means is we develop projects that are utility scale size. So we develop projects that are close to high voltage infrastructure, such as transmission lines or substations that are either operating or being built. There was a mention of an NV Energy substation. This is not in relation to that NV Energy substation. Just some background on the part of the company we work for. Devin and I work in the West. Really, this is the kind of tip of the spear of all things renewable energy development. We've been developing projects since the early 80s on first generation wind farms, and we've been really growing the business since. What that means is that, sorry, I lost my space here. Anything wind or solar, solar storage we've been working on. And renewable energy was driven early stages by policy, and then more and more by consumer demand, and now through economics. It really is the lowest cost energy that utilities can procure and provide to their customers.
Shit.
Our company has a pretty significant presence in Nevada. We currently own and operate a project called Switch Solar, which is in northeastern Clark County, just outside of Las Vegas. We're currently in construction of a project called Arrow Canyon, which is being developed on the Moapa Paiute, on land owned by part of the Moapa Paiutes. That power is going to be delivered to NV Energy. We have a number of other projects in development as well in Clark County, including the Bonanza Solar Project, which is here west of your community.
How far west?
We're going to get to that. So this is right now, so here we are with Indian Springs. Indian Springs is here, and our developments that we've focused on initially is in Orange. The project that we're developing is sited wholly on BLM land. It is a project of the size of 300 megawatts with battery energy storage. Battery energy storage helps store the energy to release it when it's needed, so at night or transitioning from day to night. 300 megawatts, if kind of thinking about it, is enough to power 80,000 homes throughout the year. So a significant amount of power that can be generated from this project.
How many homes?
80,000. Or thereabouts by how much they will consume throughout the year. What's important about the development is that we've executed an interconnection agreement with a substation that is sited in Nye County, so about 10 to 15 miles away from Indian Springs. The area that you see in orange and in green, that is our study area. That does not mean that we are looking to develop the entire area. But within the study area, we are looking for about 2,000 acres that will host the project.
Are we talking solar or wind?
Solar.
Solar. Okay.
We've initiated permitting with the BLM in December of 2020. Over the past year, we performed numerous surveys, biological surveys. Agency outreach and public outreach as well. So we're here garnering early stage outreach and interest from the community. No problem. And I'll provide this presentation to the advisory board as well.
Is there some place online that we can look at this? Your presentation.
I'll be providing it to the board. No, we don't have a online. And some of the benefits that we see regarding this project is that, you know, this has the potential to provide about 500 construction jobs, these are one-year construction jobs, but also around 10 permanent O&M jobs for the project. Also, it will deliver economic benefits to BLM, to Clark County through property tax, and we work with communities on local development agreements to support the communities that they're in. And so we garner input on that as well. And regarding this boundary right here, BLM has asked us to look a bit closer to Indian Springs. So that we are also looking at areas further to the east. And then as far as process, this is a public process as far as the permitting is concerned. As indicated, we started with BLM in 2020. We performed our surveys. We are doing our preliminary outreach. And our goal is by middle of this year that we'll be starting our federal NEPA process with the BLM. NEPA stands for National Environmental Policy Act. It is also a public process. We are also working with the Fast 41 process, which is focused on transparency, accountability for development of infrastructure projects on public lands. So if you type in Fast 41 and Bonanza into your web browser, you will learn a little bit more about this project as well. So, as mentioned in the beginning, we're here to learn about what your thoughts are of the project, engage with the community early to learn what's important, and provide feedback on what we're developing and how it may impact you going forward. So we can go ahead and turn the lights back on.
And can we see it from town?
So the footprint, we're thinking that the easternmost part of the project that we're being asked to look at would be over a mile from the retention basin. And we'll be performing visual surveys and studies to see what that would mean for visual concerns. The height of these projects rarely get above 10, 12 feet. So there may be some visual, but we haven't done those surveys yet.
So what's the footprint? I mean, the ground footprint.
2,000 acres. Up to 2,000 acres of land would host.
So why is it necessary that we actually have to see this? I mean, there's a ton of desert out there. I mean, you could put it anywhere, and we don't have to know anything about it. So why does it have to be this close to town?
Mm-hmm. There's a few things that we consider. One is biological concerns in surveys with the BLM.
Meaning what? I mean, it's desert. It's the same desert for hundreds of miles. I don't see any reason why we need to see this thing.
You said a couple things. You said within a mile of the detention basin, and then you said 15 miles
which
up the highway by
detention basin.
What I meant by 15 miles from
that's where they're going to tie in the substation.
That's the substation that the project would sink its power into. So they're all development would be west of.
So why not put it closer to the substation?
Oh, yeah.
So we've been performing a number of surveys and mentioned that in the map that chopped the sea. We've been looking in that area, but we're also looking at areas closer by because of the environmental surveys that we've been performing over the past year and garnering input from the BLM and Clark County.
Yes.
Are we talking about turtles or what are we talking about here?
A little bit more on that. This area is very sensitive desert tourists coming to
turtles. We can't hear this.
Yeah, so the area is a very sensitive desert tortoise corridor. So we've gotten input both from multiple agencies, from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, from BLM, from Clark County, that there's concern with locating this project kind of central in the valley. And so that's why they are encouraging us to kind of locate as closely as we can, basically to the town and to the road and things like that. So that's what we're trying to respond to.
So is this supposed to, this project, is this supposed to service?
Yeah,
The project will connect to the grid. And right now that grid is part of, connected to both power that goes to Nevada, but also to California.
It would be mostly Nevada. I mean, it would be mostly California. That's brass tacks. This is...
That's how most of the solar fields end up.
That's what
goes to California.
I mean, I talked to one of you guys.
Yeah, no, you're correct.
Yeah, this isn't supposed to
We got
to
control the meter.
Service Nevada. This is power that will go to California. I mean, right?
It's primarily
California. So back there, she's had her hand up for a while, and then right behind you, and then he'd be after.
How does this directly benefit Indian Springs?
You haven't said it.
It doesn't.
That's what I want to know. And
construction
give
jobs.
Detail, please, because if you want to see it on board, well, what's in it for us? What should we gain from it?
All right. So this is early stage. Right?
But what would you rather have?
Construction or development of this project
solar panels
wouldn't be until the earliest
or more houses.
2024. So we've got some time. A few things. One would be jobs.
They can't build houses.
The majority of them are temporary.
They're long-term operational maintenance jobs.
But you said there's only 10 of those, right? That would be permanent jobs.
That's correct.
So 500 are temporary and 10 are permanent. So again, how do we really benefit from it? Because 10 people to have a permanent job, that's nothing.
That doesn't mean 10 people are going to come from here.
32 hours.
So there's a number of other benefits in the mechanics world. We do this with all types of needs. So as Scott mentioned, there's local benefit agreements. So that's something where we can work with you. Often we work with the public services, so like the volunteer fire department, the water company, anybody else that we're getting services from.
Water company, you don't need
them. And we do services.
You rip us off.
What would we get out of it?
You get money.
For the community?
Through the service agreements.
Does this count in our electric bill or?
No. This is money to your agencies, to your organizations.
It's a short-term bribe. That's exactly what it is.
Well, no, some of it is like actual service fees.
But generally, isn't it like additional park amenities and things like that?
Well, those are usually one-off deals that we do, and we can explore those. And we do them all the time. So we're very open. We're very open to what would the community like to prioritize, and what we do to support the community. And so that
what have you done in the past?
Thank you.
Recently, we have contributed to purchase of fire equipment. We've done a scoreboard at a school. We've contributed to a healthcare facility. Those are the ones I can think of really recently. But we've also had like service agreements.
I'll buy the scoreboard if it doesn't defile our desert.
We have ongoing payments to use that.
Okay,
so
I've got a couple of questions.
A lot of different options.
If I may. Now, I know that in order to build this project, you have to have commitments by a particular power company to do this. You're already committed to the contract. So that power, from what you said, is going to California. Correct?
It ties into the California grid.
You're contracted with a...
We have an agreement to interconnect at the substation.
Yes.
And we would then mark the project to secure a power purchase agreement.
And who's your agreement with, is what I'm asking.
We don't have an agreement yet. This is an early stage project. So we are marketing the project to utilities that would then, we would go into a long-term agreement.
What you're saying is you have not got a commitment from any power company to wield that to.
Yeah, we wouldn't sign an agreement right now.
But who have you talked to? I mean, I know you've talked to somebody.
Basically every off-taker in California.
And everyone in California, exactly. That's where it's going to go. Why not? Then why with all the desert between here and there, why is it going over there? And I'm sure you have a lot of reasons. It's cheaper over here than doing it over there. Gavin doesn't want it over there. He'd rather use our land to have that. Another thing, I want to make a comment. No, you said let you talk.
I thought you had a question about why.
I know we're not going to get an answer as to why you're not going to do it in California. If California is getting the power.
I can give you an answer.
Okay, go ahead.
We are developing in California. We're basically developing everywhere we can right now because the transmission system is constrained. So essentially for the demand that we're trying to achieve, we're constrained to where we can connect into the system.
So you're saying that there's no place between here and there to connect into that grid. Between here, and I don't believe that because...
So the places that are available, we have interconnection positions as well. Other development companies do as well. And they're all basically, they haven't been developed yet, but they're all processing those projects also.
So you're saying this, all that land has already been taken up? That's pretty hard to believe.
All
by other companies.
Transmission capacity. Not on the land. Obviously, there's tons and tons of land out there. The transmission capacity. So they can build.
Right. So you're saying is you're going to connect into that 230 right there.
Yeah, Innovation Substation, which is that one, has capacity for a project. Okay.
But it can be done between here and there. It could be done. That's why they build transmission lines to connect.
We're building those too.
The other thing that I want to make a comment about, and it's a comment for everybody here. I don't know how many of you all have traveled to Searchlight.
Yeah.
Start out as one. Same way with Apex.
Yep.
That's exactly, and if you think that will not happen here, yep, you're mistaken.
That's correct.
We will end up with it from here, every bit of that land, up to that substation, we'll have another one. And that's exactly what happened in Boulder City and on down towards Searchlight and at Apex.
Yes.
Because the land was available and that's what they wanted. And that's a fact. You know that. And no, it's going to happen. You get one and another one's going to happen.
No, we've been talking with BLM about that. And as part of our project, what they want to do is a plan amendment that puts the rest of this valley right here in conservation. So there would be no more projects.
So I would like to see what you just said with the BLM in writing, that they're in perpetuity, none of that land can be used. You're gonna go, the next time you come here, I wanna see that. Because you said that, you just said
it. Will be, well, like we said, we're still early stage of our project, but it would be as
so you said it.
Can you let me finish, please?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want you misleading these folks.
I'm not.
Got through saying, you talked to BLM, and that they would talk about putting it in a conservation. Yes.
So if you saw
some of us know BLM people.
So if you saw the process, you know, that we're going through. We have to fully define our project, and then we write it down. It's very detailed project description. It goes into an environmental impact statement. When that comes out, that will be part of the project description, right? I can't force BLM to do something in a month.
Of course not, but don't say they did or they're going to do
it. We're going to. That's what we're talking about doing. It's part of this project.
Yeah, he's talking about it. I'll guarantee you, folks, that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. And you know what? I might not see it because I'm too old, but you'll see it.
Well, let's just say that they don't. Then what?
If they don't put in the conservation right here, well, people would have to contend with the environmental issues, which they're probably not going to be able to get past that. They'd also need to get interconnection capacity, which there's no more capacity in the substation for another project. So there's a lot of difficulties. There's also the land bill that's being passed that is going to move the majority of the wilderness area if it does pass down the transmission lines. So I think it's highly doubtful that there would be any other projects in that area.
Which wilderness?
No, we've seen it happen all over the valley. Apex, it happens everywhere. You got one, then another one, then another one. We're watching it going out in Moapa.
It's not always the case, though. There are several.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is always the case.
It's not always the case, but it often is. And I think that what the real problem is people, I don't know which one of you I talked to, but the bottom line is this. When you have people in a town that move out to a town like this, we don't want our desert defiled. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to drive by it. We don't want that. And if you do go out to Searchlight, that is a travesty what's happened out there. When you go north and you're on your way to Alamo, travesty.
Yep.
It's horrible. That started out with one little project.
Yes.
They were going to put those panels on how many acres? It was not very many acres. It was small. And then next thing you know,
build
it's
another
2,000
one.
Acres.
The biggest one in the world is going in up there.
People have grown up here, like I have, like a lot of people have, like she has. This is a tragedy to us. And I think a mile in our backyard.
Well, I want to say that they're asking us to look towards that area. We've been looking in the area that we highlighted on the map.
That's not that far away. I'm talking about both those areas. I'm talking about all these areas. I'm talking about the general desert. Plus, I think that it's a little frustrating that California has, and if anyone has come here from California,
too
I'm
bad.
Sorry, I'm not. So, a lot of us are tired of our Nevada being Californian. We're exhausted of it. It's ridiculous. You know, California can screw up themselves. Like, it's right. Like, go and do whatever you're gonna do. You know, in California, but leave Nevada out of it. And these projects, I know that this is your bread and butter. I know that this is what you guys do. You go home to families. You're both lovely gentlemen, I'm sure. I need you to understand, or a lot of us need you to understand that it's not you that we're attacking. It's this horrific project. These type of projects, to us, are a slap in the face.
People use this desert. Nobody wants to get on their quad and have a solar farm.
It's exactly right.
Is it even going to be fenced?
Yeah, that where that project that you're going right through there, there's an old stage line that goes through there. Not many people know that. I know that because I've been here a long time. Yeah, I hate to see that go away.
Okay, Dean. I think Dean's got some questions. I think his arm's getting tired.
My one arm got tired.
Just yell.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Just go.
Okay, get a perspective of where your project is. You know where 95 is?
Yes.
Okay. Going south, how far are you off the highway? Quarter mile? Half mile? 1 mile?
Our study area basically starts at the highway. We typically wouldn't build right there. We'd have some form of buffer. I think we've been playing with like 500 feet.
Okay. Now, do you know where Cactus is?
Cactus Springs?
Yep.
Okay, how far that way, which is west from Cactus, is your eastern border?
Our BLM has created a boundary for us to look at that I believe is over 15 or 2,000 feet from Cactus Springs. So
west of Cactus Springs?
Yes.
Yes. Now here's the thing. Dev and I were actually on site today.
You said 15,000 feet?
No.
150 feet.
1,500 feet from Cactus Springs?
Okay.
So, again, we're looking at boundaries. Nothing is set in stone. Okay. And so earlier today, Deb and I did have a chance to drive around that area, and to us, it doesn't look very, very good for developing. There's pits that are there, Nevada Department of Transportation pits, that are not good for us to look at, so we're looking further south.
Okay, so you're in Clark County, not Nye.
Yeah.
Okay.
But potentially, east of that, of Cactus Springs. That
further, yes. Mm-hmm.
So closer to town.
So it would be closer to town.
That was part of the study area.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, it's not 1,500 feet just west. It was also wrapping around Cactus Springs.
Yes, right.
So if you get more direct, then as I'm talking here, you're between this town and Cactus.
Yeah.
You're smack dab between the two of us, right next to the freeway.
Yeah, that was part of the study area that BLM identified for us. Yes.
So I was going to say, you said
Gary.
West of Cactus.
Gary, go ahead, Gary.
All right. So you guys, how many megawatts is this thing supposed to be producing?
So its peak production would be 300 megawatts.
Okay, and how much battery storage is this thing going to be holding? I mean, you're talking about batteries. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at is a potential fire. I only got five guys that we run from Nye County to Cow Canyon. We have this whole area. What kind of battery storage you guys have?
So right now we'd be considering lithium ion battery storage, 4 hours worth. We're working on a number of projects right now. We're working closely with the local fire department for permitting for that matter. So depending on how the technology goes, it'd be modular, or in case there was a fire, there'd be chemicals that would dispel the fire. But we work very closely with the fire departments once we have our designs ready for that.
So, who's the major owner of your company?
EDF.
Well, who owns them?
EDF is a French utility that is essentially a monopoly that is owned by the French citizens.
Owned by the French, so it's not an American company.
That's our parent company, EDF Renewables, is a North American.
I'm saying that's
a North American company. Our headquarters are in San Diego.
So I've got a comment. So it's a French-owned company that's going to supply California with power.
Exactly.
This is wonderful.
Are you getting the flavor of what we love? We wouldn't care. Just I don't care who owns it.
Can you explain what it'll do as far as light pollution, noise pollution, and an increase in temperature for our area?
So as far as light pollution, there would be construction for a year. So there would be construction that may occur before the sun rises and after the sun sets. But once that done, once that's done, there'll only be security lighting. And for example, in certain communities, we work on the ordinances where they may have a dark sky ordinance, so we try to keep our light down as low as possible. As far as noise, when these are operating, there's very little noise, very few moving parts. So part of the permitting process, we do our noise study as well, along with the visual. And then what was the third question?
The increase in temperature for the area.
I've heard of this, but I'm not too familiar with what that means. Or anything with that.
Yeah, there's been several studies, and there may be very localized increases in heat, like right around the panels, like a few feet from them. But there's been like studies that have done measurements in the surrounding area, and it dissipates very quickly. So it hasn't been something that actually contributes to like an increased ambient temperature in the area. It would just be like if you're standing amidst all the panels and you're getting some of the glare from them, it could be a little bit hot in there. And they also tend to kind of block the wind a little bit more. If you're like standing amidst all the panels, you're not going to get that same benefit. But.
So Cactus Springs would potentially be affected by the increase in temperature, but you're saying we wouldn't?
No, I mean, even Cactus Springs wouldn't have that distance. I'm talking about like 2 to 3 feet.
Okay.
What about studies that have impacted just the direct area, like wildlife, flora, fauna, that type of impact?
Fuck the turtles.
Yeah, sure. So studies that we've done are general studies about solar development? Or?
Just the impact it would have on the desert surrounding the plants, animals that are right there in that area. Outside of construction, but okay. Just things growing that are natural to the area. Animals that, you know, thrive here, live here.
Yeah. So we've been coordinating a lot with the agencies and the nonprofits and stuff like that to have a better understanding of the impact of solar and surrounding desert ecosystems. There's not a whole lot of information out there. We're continuing to collect information on it and try to get, learn more about it. Are there best practices, things like that. One of the things we're doing up on the Mojave Indian Reservation, our project up there, is in order to clear the land, we actually only mowed the vegetation and then crushed it. And so the goal there was to keep like all of the root balls of the vegetation intact, and so it could grow back quicker. Yeah, and keep all the seed stock in the upper topsoil. So we basically left all the soil there, installed our panels, and now once it's all built, then we're allowing it to regrow underneath all the panels.
So you're saying that all those solar panel areas that I see, where the land's completely denuded, it has to just, they're waiting for it to grow back?
That's most of the stuff. Why do you keep interrupting?
I get to say something too. Just because we don't agree doesn't mean you have to override me. I made a statement. You've seen them. You're out of Arrow Canyon. I've been out there before. That land is denuded. Every bit of that land is totally denuded.
So Arrow Canyon.
So please don't say that you have the root balls left there so that all the vegetation is going to grow up to those panels. It doesn't happen.
I can show you pictures of our site. You're welcome to come out.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
The majority of projects that you've seen that are out there right now are projects that were developed a couple years ago. This approach that we're doing right now in Arrow Canyon is, there's only been three projects, I think, so far we're looking at. Arrow Canyon, Eagle Shadow Mountain, and Gemini, which is just getting constructed right now as well. So this is a new approach that we're working with the agencies on. The other thing we're doing is we're lifting up our fences to allow wildlife movement beneath the fences. So the idea is let habitat return underneath the fences, let wildlife return, and that's the strategy.
It's actually, this is like a new strategy you guys are doing?
It's newer out here. We actually have projects in Kern County, California, where we've done wildlife portals. So we have holes in the fences, and we have a lot of animals return back around. So we have kit foxes, throwing owls, lots of snakes and rats and stuff like that. So we are seeing that there's retained habitat values. Obviously, they're not as highest benefit than without the panels, but there's a value there. And then from like a habitat fragmentation standpoint, we really haven't seen much data to be able to conclusively say one thing or another. But there's ongoing studies. Solar is still relatively new. And so there's ongoing studies to figure out how best to integrate these into the ecosystem, and you know, what's the best way to operate them to have as few impacts as possible.
Where did you say your projects are? Like, is there any close by that we actually could go see?
So the closest is Playa, which is operating. We didn't build that, but we own it now and we operate it.
Okay. That's what I call Switch. The Playa or Switch same project.
Yeah, that's the one that if you're going out of town, next to the Perry Island substation, I think it's at the Apex Interchange off of 15. Look over to the left. There's two projects there. One is Playa, and the other one is an MBE built project.
But you guys are only maintaining it. You didn't build it.
Correct. And then the next one that we have going on right now is the Canyon, which is on the water. And then we've got a bunch.
Have you been out there?
Oh, no,
I've been there. I was out there, but I don't remember. I wasn't. I was napping.
So he had a question behind you before. Do you still?
Well, what is it going to look like if I'm standing at McFarland and 95 and looking toward your project? Because those things are lights in the middle of the day. So what am I going to see?
You're going to see a solar farm.
It is a solar farm.
Yeah,
right.
So tell me what I'm going to see. I know what it is. Tell me what I'm going to see.
Panels.
A lot of panels.
Thousands of panels.
We can do photo simulations. So it's part of our process.
Tell me what I'm going to see. I know you can make up stuff, but you tell me what you think I'm going to see. Am I going to see a big tower with a huge flash?
Oh, no.
No, that's different. That's not
don't
solar.
Don't evade this question. What am I going to see?
I'll tell you. If we're located nearby, and what would the distance be if I could go?
2 miles between here and here? And
so 2 miles. This is what I found. When you look across the desert floor, you'll see something off in the distance. It'll be like a darker area. You'll see often like the vegetation, out here the vegetation is like 3 to 4 feet high. So some of it will be obscured by that vegetation. But you will see a darker strand of this project out there. And if it's on a hill, it's all kind of sloping up a little bit out there. So you could see a broader area.
So off the horizon, how far? At arm's length?
Probably like that much of your view. Desert sloping floor, you're still going to see the mountains in the background that will be in there. And that's, you know, when we get photo simulation, we'll be able to show it a lot better. That's kind of generally what I've seen when we call that like a mid-ground view. So it's not a foreground, it's not background, it's a mid-ground view. And on flatter desert areas, that's kind of what we see.
You're gonna put this, what, you said about 500 feet off the highway?
That was the minimum buffer.
That's the minimum buffer.
We could set it back.
But so, in answer to your question, if you start driving on the highway, you're not going to see this out in the distance. You're going to see it right there.
Yeah.
You're talking, less than 2 football fields.
Can you guys let Raquel ask her question?
Yes, please. Please add her hand up for a while.
The distance. I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. Okay,
Phil, hush.
Okay,
Phil, we got somebody in the back.
We've got a question. I just have a simple question. You guys said, and I want to make sure I understood it, BLM is the one that told you guys this is where you guys can come out and do this study. This is probably the best land for you guys to do the study. It was BLM that told you guys this?
Due to the surveys we conducted last year,
right,
and the sensitivity for the Delta Fortis, they've asked us to explore closer to Indian Springs.
Okay, so that's all I wanted to get started. Yeah. It was BLM that asked you to explore closer to Indian Springs.
And why is BLM here answering these questions?
I think because it's so early in their process, we were the ones that initiated it. They actually
but you guys are taking all the gunfire, and they're the ones that told
you. Yeah, because they know what we're like. That's why they're not here.
There is a public process that the BLM has to go through as well. And we thought it would be better for us to come out and hear your concerns before that, just to be prepared, and maybe we can
respond to the issue.
So we're definitely listening to all the feedback that you have here. We're going to go back and talk about it and figure out what to do.
All right, I get a point.
There's a couple things, though. One is with Cactus, and I don't know, anyone who's been here long enough remembers that Cactus was declared by BLM as a conservation area for a specific bird. What is it, a bird? There's the pupfish, there's a bird, there's some sort of butterfly.
Right. cactus was.
Yeah, cactus. So if this is going to wrap around that area, it was declared a conservation area a long time ago. I think someone needs to
go back
and ask. That was awful. Yeah, that was, what, 20, I don't know, age of me, 20 some years ago. I'm sure when I was four. So, and so there was that. And then, so first of all, there's that. Someone needs to look into that little conservation area that is cactus. Second of all, I realize that you guys need to present, your job is to present the best case scenario. The fact of the matter is, it's our job to force out of anyone who comes and talks to us, what is the worst case scenario? So that's what we're all trying to do, is find out what the worst case scenario is. And if the worst case scenario is something that we don't want to live with, no one's going to get on board.
Pissing up a rope, so to speak.
It is. So, and the last thing, what I'm realizing, if this solar field, this enormous solar field, is right here on our horizon, you know, Indian Springs doesn't have a lot to look at, but I will tell you what we do have is a gorgeous sunset, and that will ruin it. That will be in our line of sight. Again, we're fighting this. I mean, we just fought this, you know? So what we look at when the sun goes down is sun and desert. And you're suggesting that we look at sun and crappy solar field.
Okay, Mike, I think Mike had a question here, and then Ricky's got one.
Yeah. All right, you talk about benefits for the community. Instead of something for the park or fire department or whatever, why not an agreement with Nevada Power that we get this power and get a lower rate on our electric bills?
They already have contracts.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But that's what I'm saying. They already have
wishful thinking.
Yeah, I mean.
It just...
Instead of all of it going to California.
It bothers me that we're having this discussion to supply California with power. I keep going back to that.
Right.
We're not interested in California. Don't give a damn. Care less about supplying, never mind, that state with power. Already our dam is taken up by it. All the solar fields out Apex. And the largest one in the world is going to be built on Moapa land. Okay, you neglected to say that. The largest one in the entire planet is being planned out there. So whoever made that statement earlier about once one goes in, yeah, we've seen it. We've seen it for years. We're not interested. That's my opinion. I'm only one person.
No, you're not.
Okay.
Rick, did you still want to say something?
Oh, yeah, I know, Rick. You guys said this concept would allow for future growth underneath the soils. Every animal to return, why would BLM have a problem with you moving it further north into tortoise habitat? There's just as many tortoises here between here and cactus as there is 6, 10, 12 more miles up the highway.
Yes.
I don't care what they say, okay? And give me a rough estimate of how many square miles 2,000 acres is?
A little bit over 3 square miles.
3.25 square miles, roughly, right?
Three times the size of Indian Springs.
Do you know how far this town is from the mountain to the highway? Is 1 mile that way to here and approximately 1.25 miles here. So everyone else knows, a solar field, 1 mile on the other side of Indian Springs, 3 times the size of Indian Springs. Mm-hmm. Just so you guys are all aware.
There you go.
To put it in a little bit more perspective than everybody can imagine.
So put it on the other side of the power, the substation out there.
Don't put it anywhere.
Put it in California.
No, I mean, nobody lives out there on the other side of the substation.
And then you guys said one more thing. BLM was talking about changing what wilderness for this project?
So there's already... there's an act that's already in front of Congress called the Southern Nevada Economic Development Act that would expand the Mount Sterling Wilderness area pretty far north, very close to US 95, so where the
Sterling
lines are.
And then, as Devin mentioned, we're speaking with BLM as we're reviewing the site. They're looking to make this an area that would be free of any development in the future.
So you're aware of that the Mount Sterling Wilderness is not BLM property, it's U.S. Forest Service, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so this is in the bill to expand the wilderness area.
Yeah, so it's not done yet, but it's in the bill to do so.
So what does that do to our recreational use to that area? Because right now in the Mount Sterling Wilderness study area, which it is, which they treat as wilderness, you can't ride an ATV, you can't ride a bicycle, you can't operate any motorized type of vehicle, a drill motor, anything. You break down out there, you're shit out of luck. Just so you guys know.
Yeah, well, we're not involved in that.
I get it, but your project is helping them expand all that, or what they're talking about.
No, that bill's already in place. I mean, the proposal's already been in place. It's been proposed by your senator.
Yep.
Yeah. He's not my senator.
Yeah.
There was a quick question over here. Fence height, usually 6 feet chain link with either a single strand wire on top or barbed wire on top.
Well, along those lines, then, gentlemen, in respect of what Rick's talking about, what you have mentioned about extending that wilderness, then with your project going another 3 miles or so that direction here, that eliminates almost all of our recreational area where we can just go out and do what we want.
For access.
For access, yeah. I mean, you see, what now we have nothing. If what you said is true, then what Rick said is...
But you know what? More and more of it is coming.
I know. I know. We'll fight while we're still alive.
But I read that. Did a study.
Because
we have so many days of sunlight. If you cover 1/7 of the state of Nevada with solar panels, you could power the whole country.
The people that are talking right now
the same thing.
Don't like this project.
So,
right? I mean, let's, you know, get down
to the test. We wouldn't have this conversation.
Don't like the project. So,
but really, if they did on the other side of the substation, nobody lives out there.
Like, where do we move on from here?
That makes sense.
So, someone's going to build a product that's going to connect into that substation. We would like to do it. We're not sure where it's going to be. What we need to do is hear the information that's been provided today, go back, look at the different study options that we have, and see what we can do. That's kind of where we're at.
So what I'm to understand is you're saying a project is going on in one way or the other. It's been allocated for that, regardless of whether, I mean, it's been allocated, and a project will go in one way or the other because it's been allocated for that.
We have... Basically, what I'm saying is we have a transmission grid system that's been built out to collect energy and put into the grid. So that substation has capacity. If they don't use that substation capacity, then all of this development of these transmission lines in that substation have been for naught. So this is part of kind of the master plan of the energy grid. So a project's going to get developed out here that's going to feed energy into that substation. It's a matter of where is it going to be. And when we did all of our initial, you know, study of the area because of all the other constraints, the topography, biology, stuff like that, that's where we ended up in the initial area that we were at. And then we got the input from BLM, then we shifted closer over here that we're looking at. We're gonna take this information, go back, reassess everything. So that's where we're at right now. Like we said, we're still in early stages of trying to figure out how to make this work.
So then our fight needs to be with BLM. BLM's the one that's giving them the permission to go do their
our
studies.
Fight needs to be with every single person.
Every step
along
the way.
Every single
person. Yeah, I get it. But we also need to get
one single foot in there.
But we also need to get somebody from BLM out here because they can't do their stuff if BLM didn't give them permission to do it.
Right.
So the BLM people need to get out here because it sounds to me like they're putting them guys...
They
don't want to
hear us.
They don't want to
hear us.
They don't want to
hear us. Please, gentlemen, don't take this personally.
We appreciate all the
talk. I don't know what your driver's license looks like. But what is it? Is it a California one?
Yeah.
I just want to get that out of
here. Here we go.
I'm not trying to hide
anything. No, I know you're not. You see where we're getting at? Here you go, you cross the border and say, we want to take your land. Simple as that. I mean, that's as simple. If you cut it right down, right the pie right in half,
yes.
We want this half of your pie, and we're going to take it back to California.
You died there.
That's
and there's all that empty land in California they could build it in.
Yes.
you know.
Megan.
With their,
does all
too many stupid
the BLM land sales go to the Snipplevo project, or how many percentages of it? How much percentage of land sales?
I believe it's all.
So, 2,000 acres, if you guys purchase 2,000 acres in Nevada for BLM, anywhere, not this project anywhere yet, or has it all been from the Mojave Tribal?
In California, we've developed...
In Nevada.
I'm saying California, we've developed and constructed projects on BLM. We have a number of applications into BLM for development here.
What is your purchase price? What's a purchase price for 2,000 square acres? From BLM.
So you don't
is
purchase
the
land as leases?
Right, it's a lease.
So what's
it would
a lease?
Be a lease.
I think it, I'm totally trying to do this by memory. I think that the current lease rate right now is like $180 per acre.
So $180.
And there's a rate, like you can search and Google it, and there's a rate schedule that BLM does.
But I don't know if Simplema gets lease money.
Correct.
I think Snipplema is just for sale.
Correct.
There is a, so there's a federal act called FLRIDA, which guides the leasing process for energy projects. And I'm not sure if it went through last year or if it's still up for consideration this year, but it is supposed to take a portion of the BLM grants and direct it to the county that of where the project is located. So, you know, we've been starting to talk about, is there a way for us to even direct that even further to communities that are adjacent to the project, not just in the entire county?
Well, and Megan can answer that too, is when money goes to Clark County, it don't come to Indian Springs, which is in Clark County, it goes to the metropolitan area of Las Vegas.
Well,
mostly,
hold on. I just told you we're doubling the size of the park.
I'm just saying mostly.
Big deal.
Right, I'm saying mostly, Megan.
That's just
correct. Snipplevo money. The county wouldn't have done it, though, is what I'm saying.
We can't even
get
some speed limit signs.
Right?
The county applied to do it.
Correct.
Applied on your behalf to do it.
Correct.
And I have to tell you, the county, as big as the county is, we don't get more Snipplevo grants.
I understand that.
And stuff. It's a funky process.
Right.
But.
Correct.
The benefit of the loss of that land, the benefit that we would get right here, and this is just a comment, not a question, to me, this does not, it doesn't equal. What
I don't see the benefit.
So what we would lose, and then we would gain, I'll buy that scoreboard.
Buying support is not going to work here. You can buy scoreboards or you can put in park benches, it's not going to work. You can't do that. You can't buy support in this community. We're here because we don't want to be in Vegas. We don't want to be surrounded by massive power plants that you see down on the California border. If you don't want them, you're not going to be able to buy it.
Then again, get somebody out here from BLM. Because these guys can't do something that BLM isn't allowing them to do.
Do you know when the BLM public comment process opens?
We haven't started that process yet, but that would probably occur sometime next year.
4701 North Torrey Pines is BLM's address in Las Vegas, if any of you want to know. They got an open office set 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
We need to get somebody from BLM here to discuss this.
Thank you.
Good luck.
It's somebody on the town board.
Good luck.
So you think the public comment will start next year for BLM?
Yeah, actually, I think there's a public comment as part of the variance process. So I think within here, actually, we may have a BLM public comment.
Okay.
So there's the way that this works, we're on what's called variance lands. So several years ago, there was a solar programmatic plan developed by BLM for all of their lands. This area is called a variance area. And so the variance area, there's solar energy zones, which are areas that were designated for solar development. There were exclusion zones, which are areas that are off limits to development, and then there's variance lands, which can be developed, but you need to go through a more rigorous process. So we're in the variance land. We required initial approval just to start the process. And as part of that approval process, there's supposed to be public engagement. So I think within, depending on how quickly we can advance the variance process, there could be some opportunities for BLM to come out here within the next 2 years.
The next what?
2 to 3 months.
Do you have a BLM point of contact?
Yes.
Who?
Beth Ransel. And she is the lead for processing energy projects in all of the Southern Nevada BLM district.
Promise us you won't warn them how we treat you, because they'll never show up, and we want a piece of them too.
Now I have a question. Since you mentioned that, the variance area, variance of the land, how big is it?
Oh, the variance area?
This one, we're talking about. Not the one that you're building a bill on. How big is the variance area that they have set aside for a variance area to follow?
For like the back, it's hundreds and hundreds.
No, I'm talking about this particular area. This land is designated as variance.
Yeah, the variance is a general designation.
Okay, so how big is that general? What is the boundary?
It essentially covers the valley floor on the south side of 95 from the edge of town to all the way up to the town of Aiden.
Exactly what I was trying to tell you. Get one in here, and they'll build it all the way to that substation.
That's what they've been doing.
I mean, that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
If they get one in here, they're going to have more.
Again, get BLM out here.
I appreciate you telling us that.
I agree.
You can search that. It's the solar PPIs.
So it's not a matter of they're going to extend that wilderness area down there into that various areas. You see what I'm getting at? We're being misled a little bit, folks. Slightly being misled. That's their job. They're doing what they're supposed to do. But we need to know exactly what can take place. That variance area, as you said, goes
worst
all the way
case
up
scenario,
to
that's
thing.
What we need. Is
look at Apex. That's all you need to see.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. This talk about, the wilderness area is going to save us. That ain't going to happen.
And all this for California?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Okay.
The input that we've given you, you said part of this project is you want community engagement. And we are engaging you. But I don't see either one of y'all taking notes or anything. So after this process, what happens with the input that we gave you?
Well, I will go and take some notes after this.
Okay.
I wanted to be engaged with you, so I wasn't taking them while we were here. And then we're going to digest it. We're going to sit down and talk about
the deal. Is that with your company or with the BLM? Where do our concerns go?
First, internally within our company, within our project team. Then we'll probably talk to the BLM about it as well. We will.
Yeah, you will.
And then we'll be back here.
So when do we expect to hear something back or some kind of update on where we are?
I would say 2 to 3 months. I would even say we could probably come back next month and give you an update, but I'm not sure if we're going to have.
But don't come back if you got nothing to say. Don't come back and say.
Yeah, that's why.
I wouldn't like you guys to come back until after we talk to BLM, because, like I said, that is who we need to get out here. We're shooting at these guys here. We put these guys on the firing line. But these guys are only doing what they're doing right now because BLM has given them permission.
That's what I said. I have my hand up too. I'm not going to do it anymore. I want to make a motion or something, whatever it needs to be done.
You can't make a motion.
We're not allowed, Phil.
You can't make
not
a
allowed.
Motion.
I'm going to make a suggestion that you guys make the motion.
It's for discussion only.
BLM out here, people that are involved with this, they can hear our input.
So you guys know me long enough, almost 10 years now. Do you think that's not on my notice?
Is that for really? Whoever that is?
They can talk to them, but they can't make a motion. When there's a discussion only.
You've been here in a while, Phil. You forgot how this process works.
For everyone to give input. And yes,
whatever the protocol is, we need to get BLM out.
We don't make a motion. Or firing lines or any
of that. I have a two-part question.
Yep.
Why your company? So if this is going to happen, we'll say it's not, hopefully, but if it is going to happen, why your company and not the next company that comes along and wants to build there? Because maybe they'll keep the power in Nevada.
And then they'll come talk to us.
So projects like these start a number of years back. For example, we filed an interconnection application with the grid that manages that substation years ago, and we own the rights to that interconnection agreement. As Devin said, that substation is at capacity. We're not aware of any opportunity to increase capacity in that area. So because of our view of development projects, we take a long view. That's why you're seeing us here today. We've been working and conceptualizing this project for a number of years. Other developers may be in other parts of Nevada, and other developers are in other parts of Nevada, focused on those areas where they can seek to develop projects.
Okay, so if it's not you guys, it's not going to be anybody? Or you guys would just sell it to somebody else?
I would say if it's not us, in all likelihood, there would be another developer that would be here in our shoes like we are today.
So what makes your company better than them?
Sorry?
What makes your company better than the next developer that would come back and do it after?
We approach our projects from an owner mindset. More than 70% of our workforce performs operation and maintenance on our projects in North America. We don't develop projects to then flip them to somebody else to own and operate.
Okay.
So we seek to originate projects, construct them, and operate them and be really, you know, a member of the community for the decades that they actually operate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's going to sound like a really dumb question. Can anybody lease BLM land? Like, could Indian Springs lease that land and prevent all this?
We couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford it.
No.
Why? It's only $10 an acre or whatever it was.
$1.50 an acre.
No.
That.
He said 180.
180 an acre.
I'd pitch that in anyways. You want that? I can warn that to go get food for this town.
No, the answer is no. You cannot.
Does that power line require any upgrades?
No.
What about a nonprofit?
Has to be for public.
So our agreement will perform upgrades and add bays to the substation, but as far as upgrading that specific line, I'm not aware.
I mean, will that power line handle what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's why. So these
along with what it's already doing.
These studies, in order to the time to get an executed agreement with the utility, takes about 2.5 to 3 years to do, at minimum. So it's a long study process, and a number of projects may fall out because they will file a request, realize that the cost to upgrade or improve are too great, and that project will go.
The point I'm getting at is if you were to get yours in, I know there's going to be more, and that power line could not possibly handle all the stuff in that variance area that should be built in the future. They would end up having to build more power lines to wheel that power to California. That's a fact.
If they want more projects,
there's no doubt there's more. We get one, I'm telling you, there's going to be more.
California.
I'll be dead, gone. But you got some of these
guys. If it's not a solar field or a wind field that generates power that goes to that substation that then gets shot over to California, right? Is that kind of how it goes? Solar field generates power. Power goes to substation. Substation goes, gets shot out through a power line. Right? Is that right?
Generally.
Okay. I mean, I know this is like
very scientific terms.
Yeah, super scientific terms because I don't know anything about it. But how else could power be generated? Just hypothetically speaking, how else is power generated without a solar field or wind field, whatever? How else would that power be generated that would put that substation at capacity?
The lake that's almost dried up.
Yeah.
That's why California wants them to build it elsewhere.
That's
right.
Well,
I can tell you right now, somebody's coming in wanting to do a project out in Red Rock, where they take a big tank of water, and the water water gets pumped up during the day, and then the water coming down generates electricity, so it's like a storage thing. So that's another way, but that's very specific to that area. I'm just throwing that out there. It's just another one that's coming through that the community is putting there.
Check.
I mean, the only reason I'm saying that is because that substation's been put there. Why?
Why was that substation ever put then?
So it was originally built by Valley Electric.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what Nevada Energy.
What it boils down to.
They came out, because that was
about. They wanted the test site, and they did get it, that test site.
Right.
And when they went in there with the 230.
Can we kick this one enough? Let's go home.
Sold it. Valley Electric sold it.
Pardon me?
Is that it?
Yeah.
When you talk about these deals, and I don't want to call them kickbacks, but these deals that you would be working, is, you know, to
we call them public benefit agreements.
Yeah, okay. Public benefit. Please keep in mind that you're dealing with two different counties. Because you're talking about tying in with the Nye County substation, but you're talking about building it on Clark County land. So there's going to be that issue. Just remember that we're two different counties.
Yeah.
They already know
that. And we talked to Nye County about that, and they typically only require the benefit agreements if the actual solar site is in their county. So I think we'd primarily be working with Clark County.
Yeah, well, Nye County didn't want it. Beatty didn't want it. I mean, they're all like.
We're going to kick you back to Beatty.
Yeah, because you're tying in with your substation, but building on our land. Why don't you build on their land?
We actually looked in that area, and it's really constrained over there. So there's a lot more topography. The variance land is not as broad, so there's not as much area to explore. And there's right next to the substation on the south side, there's a lot of drainage. So there's a lot of reasons why we want to have a site over there. We'd like to be as close to the substation as we can.
Just as a point of interest, I don't know if any of you folks know about Beatty or read about Beatty, but Beatty has the same problem either. They built one solar panel or a solar project right next to them too, because of the same conversation we're having. Mm-hmm. And that just happens to be a fact. That's just a little side note.
Yeah,
you worked on that. It's the same thing.
We're doing the same thing there where we're
they don't want it either. Beatty doesn't want it either.
Looking at the other options for the area. Trying to figure out what we can do.
So are those different jobs or the same project?
Those are different products.
So there could you want to build some in Beatty and other dose of plus here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually it'll all be solar and it's all the way to Beatty.
Exactly the point I'm getting at, you guys. If they get one in here and they want
I've already seen it happen.
One mass of solar field that you're looking at like you're driving out of
Yeah, but you know what, Michelle's right. At this point, are we just being a dead horse here? We need to talk to Gillen.
Okay. I just want to make sure that everybody gets to that.
Talk to
Gillen. Understands that. Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming out and getting beat up. Appreciate your braveness.
Thank you.
We appreciate all your input.
Tell Gavin.
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
We got public comments still. We have public comments still. We're all run away.
This already was.
I mean, you can if you want.
I just want to say one thing real quick.
No, it's fine. There's still public comment as soon as people are done rambling and rumbling.
Okay, just to remind everybody real quick, early voting is May 28th to June 10th. Don't forget, election day is June 14th. Early voting, we're not doing it in town. You have to go in town.
No, I'm not.
The last day to register to vote for the early voting, regular registration is May 17th. If you do same day registration on site, you have to do a provisional ballot. So just a reminder, don't forget to vote.
Wait for your 10 ballots in the mail. They'll all have your name on it.
Nevada is now an all-mail-in ballot state. That means everybody who's registered to vote, you're going to get a mail ballot. You do not have to vote via mail ballot. Okay? So you're going to get a ballot in the mail. You don't have to use it if you don't want it. But everybody gets a ballot.
Thank you. Does anybody else have anything else before we all run away?
What about the ones they found?
So we bring it in and turn it in.
Well, that's when they
vote in person.
Yeah.
Oh, that was her.
There's a notice on the Secretary of on the Election Department site that talks about opting out of mail ballots. You know, that a couple people ask, just so you know, you're going to get a mail ballot whether you want it or not, unless you opt out of it. So if you don't want to get it, then you have to go on your registration and opt out. Again, if you don't want to use a mail ballot, please take it with you. So we can spoil it. It's not an extra ballot hanging out of it. Anybody have election questions? I'll be happy to answer. But
thank you. All right. Anybody else? Okay. So next meeting is May 12th. If you have anything for the agenda, Laura needs it at least a week before. So meeting adjourned.
I just thought that was important.
It is. Thank you. Everybody. Hold on, let me see if Megan has a phone. That's still going.
First, because they want to potentially catch